Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is dwelling in you. My God, my King. If the same power that resurrected Yeshua from the grave is dwelling in us, that means we have the power inside of us to overcome any situation or circumstance. Even when somebody says something bad wrong to you, and you just really want to tell them what for, huh? You have the power inside of you to zip that tongue and tell them what I tell them. I love you. I appreciate your opinion. But I'm really, really comfortable with you being wrong. And leave. I don't know if that would be the right thing to say. But I have said that to a few folks. Amen. Think about it. And God wants to walk with you. He wants to get you to that promised land. The promised land is God dwelling in you, God dwelling with you, God walking with you every day. God teaching you. I mean, you think about it for a minute. The Melech HaOlam, the King of the entire universe, has hid you in his Son Jesus in the cleft of the rock in order that he might show himself to you. I'll prove it to you. Turn to Ephesians and we'll close. I got other stuff, but we'll close. Turn to Ephesians. I'm going the wrong way. Remember that guy that was on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, Captain Wrong Way Peach Fuzz? I'm going the wrong way. Chapter 2. Now watch. Paul's in the first three verses, Paul's talking about us being dead in our trespasses and sins. But in verse 4, Ephesians 2, page 1647, Ephesians 2, verse 4, Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. So you're in Messiah. You've been made alive together with Jesus. By grace you have been saved. You've been raised up. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in the cleft of that rock called Messiah Jesus, that in the ages to come, watch this, in the ages to come, as you're walking with God, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us who are in Messiah Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God desires that now that you're blood-bought and born again, now that you're filled with his Spirit, God desires that as you walk with him, he can show you the exceeding riches of his grace and his mercy. Whoo, my God, my King. So why are you having a bad day? Got to get your eyes off the world and on him. Because I got to tell you, the world's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And I'm going to share with you some of the craziness that's going on. You know, people like to say, well, you believe in conspiracy theories. You know, this one world order. You know, well, it used to be a conspiracy theory. But in like the year 2000 or 2012, I forget now, the UN wrote a book. They wrote a book about what they want to accomplish with a one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. They wrote a book. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, guess what? Hitler wrote a book, and in the book, he told them everything he wanted to do. It's the book's called Mein Kampf, My Struggle. I got a copy. I don't recommend you get one. He was crazy and the book's crazy. Okay? I don't say, oh, you read Hitler's book. I use it to research some stuff. Okay? But it's just so stupid, so crazy. It was written by a madman. Okay? For sure. Who was thinking he would be a god. You know? All right. Now, last thing I want to tell you. I want to talk about this right here. You are, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As we walk with God, God is preparing us for good works. Turn to Matthew 28, and I'll show you something here. Matthew 28, page 1345. This is it. We're closing. I know you doubt me, but I'm telling you. Verse 18 says, you're there yet? Are we there yet? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Glory to God. How many of you know Jesus has been given all authority? And he's going to judge the heavens and the earth someday. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He's been given authority to judge. He says, because he's been given this authority, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrew, you know, that's really, in Hebrew, it's not in the name of, it's really, it really means for the sake of. You go do this for the sake of God the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the reason I read that verse is because all three are mentioned. The three are one. Amen? They are one. Right? And so Jesus says, you go in authority. And you're in him, and he's in you, so you're going in the fullness of the Godhead. Amen? Now watch what he says. And he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, Jesus said to what? Make disciples. Talmudim. Students. Make disciples. What was a disciple supposed to do? Walk with their rabbi. What was a disciple supposed to do? Listen to the teachings of his rabbi. What was a disciple supposed to do? He was to internalize those teachings. What was he supposed to do with that? He was supposed to imitate his rabbi. See, we think Peter was foolish. But you know what Peter did? He walked on the water. He was imitating his rabbi. They make fun of Peter because Peter just seems to just go off half-cocked, but I think Peter got it, you know. I'm to imitate my rabbi. So, Jesus was sent here for a purpose, a mission. And his mission was to make disciples. Amen? Thank God for his disciples, because you and I are sitting in church, blood-bought, filled with the Spirit this morning because of those 12 men. Amen. So what became Jesus' mission to make disciples, now he says, I'm giving you the authority, you go make disciples. So what was his mission now becomes what is called the Great Commission. Now we're to take part in it. Too many churches are making converts and not disciples. People have labeled me as a teacher. I'll take it. I've also been told all you do is preach the word. I'll take it. I'm not smart enough to teach anything else. Teach something else, I'll get in trouble. Amen? Well, you're a real teaching church. Well, we're to make disciples. Didn't rabbis teach? Amen? That should be the commission of every church. But too many churches are getting people converted. That's good. You got to be converted. You got to, you know, be born again, right? But you've got to disciple them. make disciples. That's the great commission. Amen. And we are going in the fullness. God is with us. God is in us. And God is walking with us. See, the next time you get a chance to witness to somebody, tell yourself, and I don't know if I should do this, you know, I don't know how they'll take it. Tell yourself, hey, wait a minute, God is with me. God is with me. God is in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give me grace and mercy, Lord, as I witness to this person. And I tell them about your goodness. Amen. Oh, I didn't get done in 40 minutes, but I came close. Somebody say amen or oh me. Glory to God. Jackie and Madam Mayor, will you help me? Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise his mighty name. Now, while they're serving you elements of communion, I want to talk about the announcement just for a minute. I truly believe in the power of prayer. I truly believe what Mr. Bounds said. God does nothing until people pray. Amen. And, you know, with my situation, being in Jackson, working in Marietta, and I pray for that situation to be rectified. Well, how can you fix that situation? Somebody with really deep pockets come along and buy that puppy. Yeah. Cha-ching. Or I get to Social Security age. Okay? So I really don't want to do that too fast. But anyhow, when you come on Sunday morning, and if you can't come, don't worry about it. You know, don't fret. But if you can come, bring your tallit, bring your prayer book. You know, you should all have prayer books. I've given all of you about 3 of them. So, you know, you just have to find it. Come, we'll have a good hour of prayer on Sunday morning. Amen. I believe that. When we have Friday night services, we'll have an hour, you know, like on the 30th, we'll have an hour of prayer before we have the service. Amen. I'm doing this. We're trying to do a better job of celebrating the fall feast days. Well, why do you want to do that? Because Jesus fulfilled the spring feast, and he's going to fulfill the fall feast. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed tonight, this morning. Glory to God. I better get on my, pay attention here. Wait a minute. Oh, you're good. You're good. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that through his blood, he has made us priests and kings and to our God. And I thank you that we are hid in the cleft of the rock, that rock being Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that at Calvary your body was broken. At Calvary you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes we are healed and made whole. And this morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that still takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, a baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you this morning, we eat of your body. Hold your cup up on 3. You ready? 1, 2, 3. L'chaim, to life. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And Jesus poured out his life at Calvary that we could be partakers of that life. And I've got to remind you this morning that Jesus said you can have that life and have it more abundantly. And he's talking about a relationship with God the Father and his Son. Amen. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. You know, husbands and wives, when they don't get along, it's probably because one of them or both of them is not putting anything into the relationship. Amen. You know this, you go to this church, you know this cup represents that fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony where the bridegroom doesn't drink it. He won't drink it until he comes again, remember, or until he comes for the wedding. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? I won't drink of this cup until I come in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Amen. But the bride drank it as a symbol, a vow of her fidelity and faithfulness until her wedding day. Amen. So Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. You don't know my heart. But when I'm not in this church, I'm not the happiest camper in the world. Okay? This is my church. You are my family. And I want to thank my family this morning for praying for my mother. There's nothing, you know, you don't know how much your prayers mean to me. And I really, really, really appreciate those prayers. And for lifting up my mother. And so continue to pray for her. Hopefully she'll get a go on her trip. Her strength is getting stronger. I could tell when I talked to her yesterday, her voice was getting stronger. You know, when you're not getting any sleep, you're in a hospital bed. You know, me and Dad were in hotels. Dad gets cold easy. So I had to sleep, you know. I hate sleeping when I'm warm. You know, but he's my dad, so he trumps me. Amen. So me and him didn't get a lot of sleep, ate way too much fast food. So, I'm very thankful to God and to you all for your prayers. I really appreciate that. Now, I want you to be blessed. You call me, text me something if you want to take the classes, or just show up on Tuesday at 6:30. We'll make a way for you to take them. That's all I got. Anybody got anything else? Prayer next Sunday morning. We'll have our Wednesday night service just like we always do. That'll still be at 7. And probably in September, I'll be able to start that Gods and Goddesses class because I really like to get it on tape so we can put it on the website so that I don't have to be here every Tuesday night to teach it, okay? So the more we get on the website, the easier. Like all the classes that I've taught over the past years, Terry's got somewhere, and he's trying to find them so we can go ahead and put those up on the website. But there'll be classes on pastoral ministry, leadership classes, missions, especially if you feel like you're called to ministry, you need to be well-rounded. Amen? But there will be a Hebraic degree that we'll be able to give. And I need you to pray for one other thing. Go ahead, Mike. One other thing. I was accepted into a school called Omega. That's the Oxford method of educating adults. It is connected with Oxford, England, and I've been accepted in their doctorate program. I'm doing this to try to add credibility to our school. But it's a lot of work. They will teach me how to write, how to research better, and even teach me some computer skills, which I dearly need. Okay, so I would appreciate your prayers. I have to go down there twice a year for a week So I have to be down there September 9th for the first week of classes. So Dayton, Tennessee. It's about 45 minutes north of Chattanooga. I'm not exactly sure where Chattanooga's at. I think it's like west southwest of Knoxville, I believe. I know I've put it in Apple Maps, and from here it's like 4.5 hours. So, but after on Sunday the 8th, when we get done preaching, we'll get in the car and I'll head to Dayton, Tennessee for a week. So anyway, I appreciate your prayers. I'm not a scholar by no means. I'm a redneck from Southern Ohio, so I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to fit in down there. Amen. So y'all be blessed, and I see. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. Thank you for reminding me of that. If you want to, Papa Marcus and his wife, if you remember the pictures we showed of them, they donated the land for that church in Dominican Republic. She takes medicine for, she trembles, and she takes medicine, his wife. You know, they're in their late 70s, early 80s. He still works hard every day. But they